Hello and welcome to episode number 69 of the Know Your Physio podcast. I'm your host, Andres Brochelle, helping you discover your science to optimize your life. And today's guest is Chloe McIntosh, founder at Kama, a sexual wellness practice focused on the science-based idea that pleasure is health. Chloe has been researching intimacy and sexuality for the last 10 years, traveling the world to meet experts and practitioners across a wide range of disciplines. And she also enjoyed a very successful career as an architect with Norman Foster, a founder at Made.com, and as chief creative officer at Soho House. And I'll put it this way. This is the podcast about sex in the modern day, the holistic sex podcast episode that you never knew you needed. But let's face it, who doesn't want to have better, healthier, more intimate sex? I know I do. So anyway, this is definitely appropriately timed for December 1st, the official end of No Nut November for those who are partaking. I know I am. And I've heard from my friends who study astrology that apparently this is a good month for this sort of thing. So I don't know anything about that, but seems like this is very appropriately timed. So anyway, here's more on Kama. Kama's mission is to transform how we experience pleasure and to rule in our well-being. They want to help people of all ages, genders, and sexualities make sexual satisfaction a part of their everyday life by connecting their mind, body, and heart. And they believe, plain and simply, that pleasure is health. So with stress as the number one proxy killer in the world, our mental health is more important than ever. Many societies, however, focus on managing the pain and looking to the brain to restore balance. We are designed for infinite pleasure, which is why Kama is shifting the focus back to our bodies and taking a different approach to wellness and well-being. They are placing pleasure at the forefront of the conversation. The Kama method is a simple daily practice designed by our in-house experts to recondition our mind, body, and heart to maximize pleasure and help everyone experience better orgasms. Our holistic approach combines scientific learnings and neuroplasticity with psychosexual therapy, somatic awareness, and ancient wisdom. So there you have it. They believe pleasure is a human right. In fact, in 2019, the World Association for Sexual Health declared pleasure a human right. I quote, "It is everyone's birthright, and therefore it should be included in all aspects of healthcare education and training." Kama is a response to the directives set out in their manifesto. These are some of their key guidelines. Number one, sexual pleasure is a fundamental part of sexual rights as a matter of human rights. Number two, self-determination, consent, safety, privacy, confidence, and the ability to communicate and negotiate sexual relations are key enabling factors for pleasure to contribute to sexual health and well-being. Number three, sexual pleasure shall be integrated into education, health promotion, service delivery, research, and advocacy in all parts of the world. Number four, pleasure is a positive experience for all concerned and not obtained by violating other people's human rights and well-being. So this episode, man, oh my goodness. I recommend you guys watch the video for this one up on YouTube. It should be up by the end of this week. Today's November 8th. So you can see my facial expressions, my reactions, and Chloe's as well. This was wow, what a hit. Incredible episode. I learned so much, and I know that anyone tuning into this, you're going to up your game. You're going to have a better time. You're going to feel just so much better with any kind of sexual experience, orgasm thereafter. So anyway, today we're going to talk about everything that you just heard, plus everything from how to last longer to choosing your partner, how to keep long-term relationships and the sex in long-term relationships interesting, how to keep it from being redundant, boring, everything you need to know about at least our take on social media and dating apps and pornography, how this influences our sexual health and performance. Anyway, like I said, very appropriately timed, episode number 69, coincidentally. I know nobody's going to take my word for that, but it really turned out to be a number 69. I thought it was going to be number 70. And as soon as I put this in the Google Drive folder for my team to edit, I was like, I just gave myself a pat on the back and celebrated it like the high school student that I still am. Anyway, hope you guys enjoy the show, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, my dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. I have some exciting news, exciting update. The folks at Bioptimizers have truly outdone themselves with this new and improved formula for Magnesium Breakthrough. The best magnesium supplement on the market just got even better because it now contains cofactors like vitamin B6 and manganese to improve the bioavailability of magnesium. So for those of you who don't know what bioavailability means, It means that what you're introducing to your body is actually getting used up in a functional way to give you the effects that you're looking for. And with a lot of magnesium supplements, you don't have very good bioavailability. And on top of that, you only have one species of magnesium. Bioptimizers has 7 different species of magnesium to support over 80% of your body's metabolic reactions, which are thousands. And now you really get to capitalize on all the incredible benefits of magnesium supplementation because we simply don't get enough through our diets nowadays. And if you want to learn more about that, by the way, tune into episode number 56 of my podcast with Wade Lightheart, one of the co-founders of Bioptimizers, to learn more. So for folks who are looking to support their health and wellness and manage stress, reduce anxiety, support a nice, calm, stable mood, get deeper, more restorative sleep, support tremendous energy throughout the day, I highly recommend that you take magnesium breakthrough, that is, on a daily basis. If I had to choose one supplement to take for the rest of my life, every single day, it would be this one. I managed to get everything else that I need through my diet, all my macro and micronutrients, but because of the soil that we have today, we simply don't get the magnesium that we're supposed to be getting. And with our modern environments, it really helps to get enough magnesium. So I always like to go with the best, the purest, the safest, and the most bioavailable, which is why I choose Magnesium Breakthrough. So if you want to get your hands on some of this amazing, amazing stuff, go to magbreakthrough.com/undress. That's magbreakthrough.com/undress, magbreakthrough.com/undress, and use code UNDRESS, ANDRES, during checkout to save 10% and get free shipping. Or simply scroll down to the show notes section of this episode on the preferred platform that you're currently tuning in from, and you'll see a link directly to checkout, which you can use right now before we start the show. Oh, and dare I mention that this is an incredible gift for your friends, family, and loved ones because it shows them that their health and wellness is in your best interest. Yes, it's true. In fact, I have my family set up on automatic deliveries on a monthly basis on my mother's credit card because it's really the intention that counts. And you too can be intentional with your gift by giving the gift of Magnesium Breakthrough. So anyway, go ahead and use code UNDRESS at checkout, magbreakthrough.com/undress. Hope that you guys enjoy. And now let's go ahead and get started with the show. Well, Chloe, here we are on the Neuro Physio Podcast. Welcome to the show. I've thoroughly enjoyed digesting your content and applying your educational material over the past few months. And I have so many questions for you, and I'm sure hundreds of questions will open up as we go along with the show. But why don't we start with why? Why don't you tell us a little bit about why you do what you do?
Wow. Well, I think that I'm discovering more about why as I'm doing it. I went into this purely because I needed answers to questions that I couldn't find out there. As a grown woman, you know, I started asking those questions quite late in life, in a sense. When I started getting pregnant, I was going through so much transformation on a body level that I really started to need answers. And it was just really, really hard to find a destination, a brand, somewhere where sexuality and how the body changes, you know, was being, I guess, explained. And the lack of resource got me to think that there was a massive gap. At the time, you know, I was living in the UK, but I grew up in France, in Paris. And I think there is a little bit more ease around the topic, but there is still no resource, right? So everywhere I was asking, I realized that in most countries around the world, no one can name a brand, a platform, or a product where they know to go to for anything that's related to sex and intimacy. So at the time, I thought, you know, we've got pornography, which is very prevalent and obviously become more and more the source of information. And that's 30% of the world's traffic. So it's a lot of people going to that source. And then we have more medically related content, things which are more around prevention and disease and reproduction, things like that. But in between, where maybe you and I quite like to be, I have nothing against porn itself, but it's not used very well as a technology. You know, we're not learning the good patterns. We're not learning the good ways to behave around each other and to respect each other and educate about, you know, the body of each other. So I think for that reason, I don't favor it that much. But at the time, it wasn't right for me to start. So I left it where it was. The industry was completely closed. I started thinking about this in 2005. And it was really impossible to address an industry like this at the time as an entrepreneur. It wasn't really possible. So I just waited for the past 17 years. I waited patiently for things to change, for something to change, for me to notice that something is changing. And that happened about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the likes of Hims and Romans, these kind of wellness companies in the States, who actually started a wellness program that was actually distributing pills, erectile pills to people that had issues with their erection. So not typically wellness, but the attention was there. They were raising awareness around sexual wellness, and it really put a very particular interest amongst the VCs in the States in particular. And suddenly, this plus a few other things, the sexual wellness category was created. And, you know, as an investor, you cannot really invest in a project if it's not part of a category, because the category will tell you what is the market size. Therefore, what is the opportunity? So if you want to talk about sexual wellness, but no one else is talking about it, they don't know what to do with it. So it created the opportunity for more people to raise money in the space. So you started to see apps like Deep Sea, Queen, Coral, you know, all the other people in my space who I think are doing a great job. And I don't see a competition with at all, because it's just so few of us. And that's where I decided, okay, now is a good time to go after this particular opportunity, both for myself to go deeper into the topic, but also because I really felt that there was a really amazing, like, business opportunity that could transform our culture. A business that could really have a huge impact on how we relate as human beings. You know, and for me, that's when I realized that this was more of a mission. You know, you're asking me why. Now, why is very different from why then. Why then was it's a great business opportunity. I'm curious. I want to learn something new. I think I'm a good person for this. Versus now, it's a very important mission. I really believe in it. I believe that anyone, everywhere, needs to have access to good sex education, because it's essential for us to operate just healthily as being on this planet. And also because, you know, we say that pleasure is our birthright. We have infinite access to pleasure. And I think that it's important for us to indulge in that reality rather than spend more time trying to avoid the things that we fear and going away from the things we don't want, and start to really be driven by desire and going towards the thing that we really want in life, which is what pleasure, you know, allows in a sense.
Everything in its right place, right? It seems like everything unfolded for you in a very timely manner. And I just want you to know that, you know, from a firsthand experience, your content and the material that you guys are producing has been transformative for me and in my perceptions and my approach. And the next thing that I want to say, and maybe we can, you know, dissect this together, have a conversation about it, is I believe that because most folks don't have access or haven't had access to this kind of information for so long, yet, you know, we're curious, you know, the human being, we're very curious, right? We want answers, especially when it comes to these taboo sort of subjects. And obviously that's not everybody, but I think it's a lot of people. And I think that people that want answers and that are curious about these kinds of things, where can they look? Over the past few years, where have they been able to look? Well, they can't look into too many places, whether it's, I don't think a lot of people are looking in physiology textbooks, right? I think the most accessible thing that you can do is go to pornhub.com or related websites, or you can go on a dating app that maybe isn't really there for dating. It's more like one night stands and such. Not to take away from that, because a lot of dating apps are very good for establishing meaningful relationships. But I think a lot of folks, especially the younger generations, are automatically driven to something like porn or dating apps when they want answers about sex or when they want to learn about sex. So why don't we have a conversation about this and maybe help bridge the gap between what young folks can do today to get their hands on this kind of education?
Yeah, it's tricky, you know, and it's been like this for so long. I sometimes think that sexuality must be the only thing in our society that hasn't actually evolved. We have more acceptance. There is more equality than there was in the past, you know. But if you think of techniques and satisfaction, I'm not sure that it has moved forward that much since the ancient Greek, that I think actually had spent a lot of time developing practices and rituals around sexuality. So probably we have lost most, you know, of the knowledge that is truly connected to our beings. And I think, you know, one of the things that always comes back for me is we've designed a society that desensitizes us. You know, we are surrounded by hard material. You know, it doesn't smell very good in a city. So you don't connect with life, you know, when you are not feeling, you know, at home. And so partially the reason that we don't have access to this information is not just because of resources coming from the outside. We can't listen to our own body. So we don't get the information from inside, which is that wisdom that is inside our body. The body, I believe, is the most advanced technology we will ever have to deal with. You know, I always think people are so excited about going to Mars, and we have this really amazing engine here that most people don't really explore throughout their life the way that they could, right? So me, that's been my discovery. Living in my body, you know, I used to be very cerebral, very driven by intellect. And I think I come in from a culture where status come from intellectual prowess. You know, that's all that matters is how able you are to debate and how much knowledge you have, etc. So I was not invited very much to experience life in my body. And I think that that's the two side of the education. Tell people to look inwards. Tell people that the answers are inside. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a beautiful Amazonian girl who's 23, and she's come out of the forest only a few years ago. So her knowledge of these things is pure. So I have this great conversation with her about, well, how do you get educated about sex in the forest? And she says, well, there's two ways that this happened. First is my grandmother told me since I was a baby that I already know. The answer is already inside of me. So I don't have to doubt myself because my intuitions are very connected to everything that I do, right? So that's the desensitized, you know, society that cuts us from that intuitiveness that is our truth. And the second thing she said was that I learned because I witnessed a woman who was older than me giving herself pleasure by just, you know, she had her legs crossed and she was moving and she saw ecstasy on her face. And so she went and do the same. And that's called limbic resonance. That's how we learn, through behaviors. So the way we educate ourselves is also by embodying the right behavior. So if your parents or my parents had embodied pleasure and sexuality in a healthy way, you would have learned naturally about these things. You actually don't need a textbook for a lot of those things. The problem is we need a textbook today because we need to de-learn all the stuff that's confusing us about shame and permission to do this and all the different models that we're trying to fit in and all the brainwashing and construct that are commanding most of our choices until we get old enough. Often with a big blow in your life, you know, you have this big moment of like, what have I been doing, you know, which is what happened to me too. But before that, you don't realize how guided you are by your environment, by your education, you know, but what you see and feel around you. So now, you know, when I talk to people your age, I think also of the next generation. How do we educate from newborn to teenager a being who would be able to relate to pleasure and their body in a way that is healthy, in a way that gives them safety also? Because when we don't know our no's or our yeses and we don't know ourselves, we are becoming more exposed to things we don't want, you know? So that's also that part of the education. So yeah, so the resources are very sparse when it comes to, I would say, reliable platforms. I think it's a combination of people, sometimes like yourself, who decide to talk about their personal experience and have had the time to observe and understand, because also they've learned other things. And so that articulation can be a great source of education, because there is, it's relatable. You know, most of the experts in our field, in the sex and intimacy field, are now older. You know, they belong to a different generation. And I think it's important to see the way that we consume information has changed. We want to hear, we've tested, we've asked that question to our consumer. They want to hear first from people who are like them, but have had an experience or training or exposure that gives them something, more so than they want to learn from experts. You know, sexuality is a delicate space. You can't be telling people what to do. You know, I love when you say you're related to our content. It really makes me so happy, because it's not often that I hear that, because we built this in the lockdown, completely in the lockdown, you know, 2 years of incubation, no exposure to the outside world. I had no idea who it touched and what it had brought to people. I really, really don't know that much, because people don't speak about it, you know, so they may have some really great things happen in their life because they've learned something, but it's not a topic that's easy to share. So again, the resource will come from the ones who have the courage to share their story, which is what also I'm trying to do, using my story as a way to engage people that I am not this completely fully orgasmic person that can do all these different tricks. I am pretty much the same as anyone else out there, but with 2 years of proper training. And I think where maybe we will meet and find lots of common ground is this idea that practice is everything in life. You know, finding your practice and sticking to that is how you master your mind, and it's how you master your life. You know, so sexuality can be one of those practices.
Wow. I mean, it's incredible how so much of this process is more about just that. It's de-learning to get to a core that the truth is most of us have in common and can get in touch with. Example of that, your friend from the Amazon, the fact that she's known this from birth. I mean, if you look at any other animal in nature, they don't have social media, they don't have instruction, they don't know physiology, but they have this, you know, built-in drive, right? And I think we have that too, but I think it's the way that we've reinforced what we know about it has given us an impression that the way we need to approach it is like what we see online, or there's like a different expectation that takes us away from this core, right? And it's so much more about practicing the art of intimacy with your partner and the art of getting to know yourself and how you can get to know yourself by having sex. Why don't we follow this up with this, is how can we develop that relationship with ourselves in order to develop the intimacy we need to have better sex?
Yeah, great question. I have lots of questions for you as well, by the way, in case. But yes, great question. Well, we need to first look at what's in the way. You know, we call them blocks. They are literally blocks, because on a psycho-emotional level, they will block you. You won't get there unless you address them, right? So at individual level, if we're talking about an individual, we're going to be looking at, you know, their upbringing. Was it open? Were people walking around naked at least once in a while? Where was sexuality discussed at least once in a while? Were people sexually active in a healthy way in the household? Things like that can already define quite a lot of what could be in the way of sexuality. In fact, sexual energy is a very potent energy. Yeah, it's life force. So it's this energy that in ancient wisdom and the ancient writing is defined as aliveness. It's what makes you alive. You define it as drive. You know, if we don't get driven to, we die. We basically extinct as a species. So it's very important to have the drive. And this sexual energy, which is made to create life, pretty amazing. When it's not creating life, it's still creating. It's constantly available to us to increase through practice. You know, you can do some breast exercise. We can talk about that. That actually allows you to keep your sexual energy, your life force, always active. So you never really go down or up. This is where we have the issue with people not being able to navigate the world and going to extreme and getting educated on pornography and watching more and more offensive content because they saturate really quickly and they want more, you know, because they almost desensitize themselves as they watch more of that content. So with pornography, you intend to watch scarier and scarier situation because you need that stimulation. So it's, you know, the relation to self is going to come when we are comfortable with making that connection. We're not scared of what we might meet when we go there. So if you had trauma, if there is shame, you know, I would say the really biggest stroke is shame. Shame is the biggest block. And what shame does is it removes permission. Because you have shame of a part of yourself, then you're not giving yourself permission to enjoy and receive pleasure there. So when you don't give yourself permission, you're limiting your possibilities. Now, we know now, you know, from like neuroscience and the way the brain is plastic, that if we don't believe something, then it's going to be very hard for it to happen. So if you don't give yourself permission to have pleasure, to have a G-spot orgasm, to be able to have harder erection, to whatever you want, if you think that the shame is what's the reason you do not have that, then it's going to be very challenging to achieve it. So a lot of the work that we do is trying to understand the relationship to the body. Is there shame there on the physical body? What practice can we do to repair, you know, the relationship with a physical body that is not being accepted by the owner? And that can go from some meditation, connecting to the body, saying things to oneself. So using self-talk, not to deceive you and self-sabotage you, but use self-talk to boost you, to motivate yourself. Say, Chloe, you are amazing. I love you. What you did today was incredible. And constantly using self-talk positively, you know, with yourself. It's a very, very important tool. It costs nothing. Sometimes it's hard. For myself, it was a process because I'm used to being hard on myself. And it's always been a driver for me. But there's a point where that doesn't work anymore, because it's actually not going in favor of you opening up and receiving more. It's about you, you know, going towards things and attacking things from a place of pushing. And pleasure is mostly about receiving. And this is what we have a lot of trouble with in our society. Men have a lot of issues receiving because they are always in a performative mindset. There's so much expectation that is put on them, that it's hard for them to be allowed or to allow themselves to just receive. And of course, if they're uncomfortable or they have shame or, you know, I don't know, they don't have the right erection in that moment, then they also close up very, very quickly. And for women, it's the same, because women are supposed to be more passive, more receptive, but they get in their head. Because what if I don't look right? What if I don't smell right? What if they don't like me? What if the biggest problem people come to us with is I get stuck in my head? So very often in the way of good sex and pleasure is to do with managing what's happening up here. And the principle that actually mindfulness and sexuality are the same thing, which is what I believe. I believe that sexuality and sensuality is just another modality to be mindful and present, except it's a more fun and practical way to be present because you focus on the feelings and sensations rather than traditional meditation, which can be really difficult to achieve, and yet again you feel like you can't do it because you have to sit still and not move for a very long time, and you're still in your head trying not to think, so you're not really achieving any form of embodiment, you know. And I think embodiment is really the key to all of this that's happened to us in the way of the relationship to the body. We are not embodied anymore as a culture because we favored everything up here, because there's so much construct, because of religion, because of, you know, different ways that we get controlled. We've lost the sovereignty of the body. And we see things happening around the world where people are imposing on someone else's body. I mean, it's a crazy concept. One thing we get given that we own, by the way, not the houses, that is the thing we really own, that is ours. And very quickly, we defer all the authority about our bodies to doctors, to teachers, we actually tell children they don't know. When they cry, when they scream, we tell them stop. When they obviously going through something, they need to release it, you know. So we really need to lift the shame by doing this, you and I, talking about it in a way that's okay to talk about. We can talk about everything. We can talk about masturbation, anal pleasure, squirting. We can talk about all these things because they are just part of who we are and what we can do. And it's an entire menu of things we can talk about. And the more we do this, I think the more we remove this big, big block, that then comes the permission, which is the second step. And the permission is really, really simple. Once you are in a space where you allow yourself, me, I do it all the time. I go to a party. Before I go to the party, I say, Chloe, I give you permission, I give myself permission that if I meet someone and I want to hook up with them and do something crazy, it's okay, I'm going to do it, right? So when I'm in the moment, all I have to rely on is my intuition because I've already agreed with my head, it's okay. So I don't get confused where the information is coming from. If I feel the great feeling, then I go for it. If I don't, then I don't. But I don't start saying, is this the right thing to do? Am I too old for this? What are people going to think? You know, which is also what then becomes more shame related and a lot less desire and pleasure related. So the permission would be a practice that most people can, I mean, it's been completely transformative. And it's so simple. And a lot of the things, that's why I have so many questions for you, is that I am really in the business of making things practical for people. I think there's been a lot of talk about sex and a lot of content about sex that is portrayed in the media in various ways. And somewhat we talk about it a lot, but no one can tell you how to do it. How you actually do it, you know, how do you create more sensation? How do you create more connection? How do you last longer? How do you, I mean, you know, because we've lost the natural way, we, one part, need to rewild and spend more time in nature and be sensual and really appreciate sensuality. And on the other side, we're going to need to relearn some good techniques, which is kind of what we really want to provide, is lots of really good techniques that hopefully, which is what I want to ask you, you know, what actually has worked for you? I would love to know.
Okay, so I'm gonna do my best to answer that question while respecting my girlfriend and her privacy, but I promise you guys tuning in, and I promise you, Chloe, that I'll give you guys some, you know, some good substance and actionable steps here. I'm not the expert, but I'll do my best. But before I answer that question, I just want to ask you this real quick. Let's say we can go through this menu, right, of topics within all about sex and how to have better sex and how to develop this kind of intimacy both with yourself and with your partner and, you know, future partners. Do you think that knowing more, does it ever take away? Can it take away? Does it ever take away from the sex itself? Let's say if I were single and I learned everything about sex and intimacy, do you think that, like, for example, learning how to make someone squirt or, you know, whatever, all these different things, right? Do you think that having that kind of advantage can sometimes take away from a lot of the mysteries in sex that some would consider, let's say, sexy, or that it can make someone less, let's say, innocent, which I know for a lot of men, approaching a woman that is very, let's say, innocent, so to speak, is a turn on, is sexy, you know, someone that doesn't really know how to do certain things and you have to kind of show them, you know. So can we address that real quick before I tell you about what I've done and what I do?
Well, first, if you want to show them, you better be good enough because they are now wanting you to tell them what to do, which is not exactly what I would recommend, because for a woman to be fully independent with her pleasure, she needs to know her body. Innocence is an energy. You know, it's also how we present ourselves. It's the ability to be fully open to all possibilities and not judge or or control things. That's a form of innocence. When you don't know, you don't know, so you can't control it. So that's actually also a practice of just because you know your body and you can do a lot of things to yourself. That's what I would recommend to every single person out there. If they can look after themselves and be responsible for their pleasure, their sexuality is going to become so much better on all levels. First, their satisfaction, their ability to heal through sex. Because there is this magic and the moment, you know, that girl who is innocent, who you are showing the way, how does that last? You know, how does that extend in time, that particular scenario? So I think there are things that we get attracted to that work well when we're dating, when we're having adventures, and different things can spice up the dynamic. But when you think of having a partner, I'm not saying for life, but I'm saying for a number of years, let's say, as an aspiration, to have a partner that at least you want to spend a few years, if not more, with, then their growth and your growth, I think, will happen when there is independence with, one, their arousal. No one is responsible for your arousal. You turned on, you want to fuck, great, look after yourself. Go and do what you need to do. Don't put that on anyone else. Because that pressure and that energy actually is a turn off very often for the other person. Because they don't get a chance to want it because you're already there asking for it. So the mystery and the magic is in the sexual tension. Is in being aware that the only thing we share in a relationship is the space between you and me. Everything else is either yours or mine, right? So nurturing that space, working with that space, making sure that you get close but you don't touch, being intentional when you go home and you see your partner, don't just kiss her on the top of the head or tap her on the bum. Just, or if you do, really mean it, because it will be received in that way. So if you don't nurture, charge, and clean the space between us, then it will be misunderstood. That's how you get conflict that doesn't get resolved. That's how people get stuck in their head while they're having sex, because there's something in that space that wasn't really quite clean, you know, when that started. So one of the practices that I recommend always is daily emotional hygiene. You sit with yourself for 5 minutes. You check in, you see, you know, is there anything in the air? Is there anything that he said, that she did, that she didn't do, that is a little bit annoying me? You know, I'm going to let it pass because I don't want to be the nagging one that's always complaining, you know, so I want to, you know, and I accumulate a little bit. And then that eventually will turn into a conflict that will be quite hard to resolve. So check in with yourself. And if you find something isn't quite aligned, resolve it. Transmute it. It's still your responsibility to sit with it and say, okay, why am I triggered by this? You know, and if you really believe that there is something to address, then don't let it pass. Then address it. Otherwise, it means it's not worth addressing. And so having that check-in daily means that you're eliminating all the crap that could be floating in the air that eventually will create that kind of disconnection. And if you do that well and you play in that space, and you use your imagination to create interesting things in that space, your sexuality, I think, will always be fruitful. Because the sexual energy arises with the tension that exists between the two people, which is why it's so strong when you first meet, which is why people always relate to this. You can actually create this in your relationship. Most people don't believe that's possible. They think that, oh, you're with someone for a while, then it's no longer about the spark and it's no longer about that tension. But I disagree. I think you can keep it for much longer if you treat your sexuality as a project where both of you are there, as you were saying, you're there to learn about yourself and about the relationship. So me, I make plans with my sexuality. I say the next 3 months, I want to work on this topic, or I want to discover this.
So I just want to quickly, I know that you have these questions for me, and I know people tuning in now want me to answer the questions, but I just, one last thing I want to say is, I think that, for example, when because porn is so accessible, and I know this is going to be an ongoing subject in our conversation, but because porn is so accessible to both men and women, when they have this urge, let's say, to have sex, they can immediately follow that up with masturbation. They have this, they can immediately get the satisfaction, right? And I think that takes away from the sexual tension that you need in a long-term relationship to keep things exciting, to keep things really fruitful, you know, because if you expect in a relationship to immediately, the second that you are, let's say, horny, wanting sex, you want to fuck, if you expect the other person to respond immediately to give you that sense of satisfaction, then you've already, now you've cut off the single, the one thing that is creating that awesome spice, you know? So for those of you tuning in who watch porn or are interested in porn, please, unless it's, I mean, look, I would also like to discuss with you the benefits of porn, but I think most people use it in this fashion. And I will admit that as a young guy, you know, in my early years, I also approached sex in a similar fashion. Today, I'm very in touch with myself. I have all kinds of healthy habits and a very, very, very beautiful relationship with my partner where that allows us to enjoy each other in a very special way. And I think a lot of people can get in touch with that. As we said earlier, you know, it's something that is in our core and it's a matter of discovering that, getting in touch with that and allowing that spice to last and to only get better. So all right. So what are your questions for me?
No, but you know, I mean, most importantly, you mentioned that some of the things that you learned had a positive impact. And but I'm sure everyone else would love to know, I mean, of course, you know, in respect of everything, what aspect or, you know, and also what, you know, anything really that allowed you to address things slightly differently.
From your content specifically?
Yeah, because, yeah, when you mentioned there were things which really, well, I mean, I think the Kama content, but all other sources, I mean, by any means, I think it's important to bring it all in, you know?
Okay. I would say that what's had the most tremendous impact on my sexual health, and this is, you know, a combination of your content and I guess other things that I've seen, your content obviously being a very potent source. I would say the biggest thing, because I have transformed. So I think a lot of it has to do with that feeling of presence and pursuing presence as you're enjoying a sexual experience. So instead of, let's say, focusing so much on what you want to experience, putting the emphasis on your partner, but not only doing it for the sake of your partner. I think it's more like the harmony between taking attention away from yourself and really trying to develop presence in what you're doing, to the point where the best sex that I have, you know, and of course, not every experience, you know, every time I have sex today with my partner, it's not always the same. You know, there's a spectrum. It's always different. But the best is always when you are in this flow state where you almost lose perception of time and what you're doing and why you're doing it. It just feels good, and you can, there's like a sense of freedom almost, because you've removed the expectations that you have. You've taken the attention away from yourself, and you can truly experience every sensation that moment has to offer. And when you do that, I just find that immediately the response in my partner is just that much better. I find that the worst, and again, this, I think this goes back to being your average young male in the modern era. I think years ago, the way that I approached sex was, you know, I have this feeling and I need to let this feeling out and I don't care. It's about me. It was more selfish. And I think being, for example, you know, in college and that, you know, university sort of life, I think that there are certain expectations, there's a certain perception, there's a certain kind of way to approach sex that college isn't about making babies either, but I just think that the intimacy was removed and it was more about, you weren't getting in touch with yourself, you weren't getting in touch with the other person, and I think it was also frustrating for a lot of my friends because they approached it in a similar way. And it was like this groupthink mentality where not everybody was frustrated because, like, all right, this guy got what he wanted and he made that happen. So now I should do the same thing and just approach this to get what I want out of this. And if that's not met, then I'm just going to be frustrated and I'm going to hate myself and I'm going to, you know, watch porn or I'm going to go on this dating app and I'm going to look for the easy way out. And it's like, now you've removed everything about sexual tension. Now you've removed everything about presence. Now you've removed everything about getting to know yourself, getting to know the other person. It doesn't have to be a long-term thing. But even for that one time, that one opportunity, you want to really, truly, fully enjoy it. So don't have an expectation. Try instead to develop that sexual tension where you can't get enough of each other. I feel that harnessing that instead, even now in a long-term relationship, has been the best thing for my sexual health. And I can give more specific examples of how I believe I harness some of that sexual tension. I think, for example, when I'm very, and this is amazing because it takes me back to what you were saying previously about, you know, if your sexual energy isn't going into sex, it's going into other things. But I find that those things work hand in hand because I find that the more committed, the more disciplined I am with my work, for example, and the more I achieve through my work. So like when I'm, you know, podcasting consistently and talking to clients and I'm getting interviewed here and I'm doing this and doing that, like when I'm like in that groove, I'm honestly in a way almost too busy to have sex when my partner is, you know, maybe craving it. Even when I'm craving, I just feel like I have to get to my work, but that creates this distance and this sexual tension so that finally when that happens, it's like that much better. And I think my partner is very much attracted to me and my drive and my success because she sees that as a sexual energy. And I think the way that naturally, right, is when you see someone succeeding or doing or expressing themselves genuinely, which again, I mean, I have the pleasure of working in a space and doing and I have a career. My career is it's an expression of myself. It's a passion. And so those two things together really make it attractive for my partner, right? And same goes for her. You know, she gets to express herself and be herself every day, and she gets to put that into her work. And I find that the more, it's funny, the more focused she is, the more driven she is, the more disciplined, like, man, the more attracted to her I am, you know? And that creates the space. Like, letting her pursue that, creating that space, makes it so much better.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. I think a few things. First, I think what you're talking about is we call it vocational arousal. So there's a form of drive that feels like a turn on, that is the mission or the quest or the, you know, the work that we do, especially when that work is aligned, you know, with who you are and where you're going. And so I think the first piece of advice that I also try to pass to my children is find that thing you love, because that will drive you forward. You know, don't accept less than doing something you love, because I know we've been brainwashed, my generation and before, to dress the same and spend an hour in the tube and go to an office and sit on a chair. You know, little bracket around the sitting. You know, sitting is the new smoking. It is going to eventually break our health if we don't change the way that we spend our time. And by the time, you know, in your 20s, your pelvic muscles are atrophied. They've started to shrink because you're always sitting. So your back is molding to the chair, right? It's a terrible, terrible health pattern that it's almost a total blind spot. And so when you, just in brackets, you know, we no longer need to go to those offices. We actually can do the things we love. And when we do that, we are able to generate also more of that energy that then very much feels like it's all one energy, but you have the choice of using it, you know, rather than the itch that you're saying when you're younger, it's like an itch, you need to just get it off almost. Well, that's the difference between energy out, you know, where you release, you ejaculate, you have a, you know, a pudendal nerve orgasm, clitoral orgasm, ejaculatory orgasm, you're releasing out rather than you're holding in, you know, and you're channeling up and you're building the charge. So in an old tantra in writing, they said that the man should enter soft and come out hard. You're supposed to use the experience to get charged up, not to get decharged by releasing. So there's this new kind of wave of semen retention that's coming back now, this philosophy that really tries to promote for people with penises to have that ability to drive the energy back up, because it's also good for them. It goes through their heart and then it escapes through the crown, you know, the energy moving up. So it opens the heart also of men, which is very important that we have this chest area for men is very guarded and very closed. And that also doesn't facilitate for healthy relational intimacy, which again with pornography gets further because you don't have the relationship and you have shame associated. So you close even more, your sexuality becomes top, you know, it's the below the belt, but you don't connect to the rest of the being with it. Like you talking about presence, presence means that you are inside your body. Your awareness is with your sensations. Your awareness is with what it feels like to give and receive, you know, to be in that flow of receptiveness, intuitiveness, moving, synchronizing, you know, using the breath to all these things start to come online when we don't get stuck in our head, you know. So it requires some good embodiment, you know, because you're a coach, you spend a lot of time, you know, you understand the importance of being in your body. You probably have a slightly easier, you know, ability to be in the body. A lot of people struggle with the idea of presence because they can't stick with, you know, the awareness is going back into their thoughts and they start thinking too much. But what you're saying is very, very true. And I think, you know, the flow state is almost should be our life's quest to find all the ways that we get in the flow and do as much as we can to design our life. So we maximize the time in the flow state. You know, I often think of like the creative industry. They're not very recognized in our society, right? We don't recognize creative people, don't get paid a lot of money a lot of the time. But the creative, they're actually in the flow, you know? So they're actually giving us pure expression and information that is not valued as much as things which is cerebral and intellectual. And so I think it's important to realize that at individual level, I want to have an experience in my body. I actually want to see and feel the world, what it's like to be in my body, because it's an amazing experience. It's just a completely different way to connect to the world, and it gives you opportunities like intimacy when you have that.
Absolutely. And I would say that as far as, let's say, habits, things that I do that help me get in touch with this energy, that help me develop synchronicity with my partner, that help me explore my body and see the connection between, let's say, breath work and movement and beyond. I would say the number one, because, and this is something that I didn't really recognize until we started to have this conversation, but I think one of the best things that men can do is yoga. I think yoga is an incredible way to introduce all of this stuff, or not all of it, but the vast majority of, let's say, these habits that can help men get in touch with themselves, that can help men explore movement, explore presence, explore breathwork. And I'll tell you that it translates very well into the bedroom. And it's funny that I say that. And anyone tuning into this that knows me is going to laugh at me because my girlfriend is a yoga instructor and I got into yoga through her. But I think it's been rewarding on so many levels personally, sex included, but you know, so much more beyond that. Let's see what else. I mean, as of right now, I'm not meditating, but I did have a very dedicated meditative practice every morning. I think that's been fundamental. Everything that you've said about flow state really speaks to me, because I think what all these habits have in common and bringing them together really helps develop this sense of flow, right? And I think that if we do give ourselves the opportunity to put society and those standards aside and get to know ourselves, again, through these habits, we can recognize maybe what's a career or what's a function, a role that we can play in society where we can be rewarded fairly by being ourselves. And I think that if we put ourselves in that kind of position, automatically these habits are going to be that much more essential and rewarding. Not essential as in they take away, but rather as in they will add so much in. And I think this develops a channel from which we can get to know ourselves and connect with other people on a much deeper level. So I know this is obviously a lot that we can unpack, but I think it's consistent with everything else that we've discussed. Do yoga, breathwork, meditation. Try and find something that you love to do. Get to know yourself. And that will help you remove the expectations, get to your core, and develop this sort of intimacy.
Yeah, and also I think the mindset for anything, because me, I started to do yoga But I didn't understand the philosophy of yoga. So I became competitive in there and hurt myself quite a lot. So the important thing about breath work, meditation, yoga, it's not about the doing it isn't the point. The point of meditation is not to meditate. The point of meditation is to be present more often throughout your day. It's a practice that just helps you be present. So me, my mindfulness practice, I do it, I call it effortless mindfulness. It actually isn't me who calls it, but it's someone I've learned from. And I love it because it's an everyday, every moment mindfulness practice. So for example, while I'm talking to you, I'm sitting on the floor, of course, and I'm stretching my leg and I have awareness of how my leg feels. I'm actually connecting with, you know, to the joint. Even though I'm talking to you, it doesn't distract me at all. I'm just bringing awareness to the present moment so that I stay in the flow, that I don't start thinking. By connecting with things that activate my senses, I actually tune in more to this moment of which you are part of. So I don't distract myself. Or if I drink, I really stop before I drink or eat. And I tell my system, now we're going to eat and drink, which activates, by the way, a whole lot of senses that are supposed to be activated, which is why we pray before we eat. That's why those rituals are there for. It indicates to the digestive system something is coming rather than eating really fast, you know, without warning and then having bad digestion and issues with our body ultimately. So having all these little rituals that often actually existed a long time ago that we have lost. This is how, together with a practice, so you have a practice that you can say, okay, I'm going to do 5 minutes of deep belly breathing every day, and you can invent any practice that you do every day. The only rule of the practice is that you have to do it. You cannot not do it. That's the only rule of the practice. Even if it's that you do one breath instead of 10, but you have to do the practice, that's how you master your mind. So that's the first thing, to know that you can do it, that you always have the choice to master yourself. It's always a choice you have.
Thank you for filling the listeners in on exactly what the pursuit should be through these habits. You know, it's not as simple as doing them, but it's more like, what does this really mean on a deeper level? Because certainly you can just do yoga, but if you're not actually getting in touch with something deeper, then it's just not that simple. I have some interesting questions for you here about nutrition. A while back, I made a post for Valentine's Day. Maybe it was the day before Valentine's Day. I think maybe it was the day before Valentine's Day, but it was a post about Valentine's Day nutrition essentials. I'm wondering, what's your experience with something like, you know, chocolate or beetroot powder or arugula or L-citrulline, you know, these vasodilators or maybe foods that help to, you know, create this endorphin rush or promote the release of oxytocin. Are you familiar with these substances, and do you personally recommend them?
I mean, I have not really yet investigated the relationship between nutrition and sex because I'm still about 1% in the sex topic. I'm like, it's such a huge field that I haven't really had the chance to expand the other collaborative spaces, because just sex, love, intimacy is just like a planet in itself to explore. But what I have learned, and that's the most important, I think, is when you become more embodied, when you build a relationship with your body, when you start asking your body questions and connecting with yourself, when you start hearing the body when it whispers, not just when it screams at you, when you get there, then your body will tell you what to eat. And whether, because this is really what happened to me. And you get driven towards the food that your body really wants, and you have seasons. It's changing all the time. I had periods where I wanted to eat one type of food very much. I needed it. You know, I needed liver, and I was always craving liver. I don't crave liver at the moment anymore. So there's some things that, again, always think back as when we lived in the forest, how much of all of this did we have apart from the experimentation? As you say, you eat a lot of one of those ingredients. Do you notice something? It's a matter of observation. Everyone's going to be different. I would say the most important aspect of sex is a lot of water and not a lot of sugar. because sugar is bad for everything, but it's terrible also for anything to do with moving energy. It gets you very hyper. And so it's not actually anything that turns your system up, where you're going to more likely be in this reactive or sympathetic state. Anything that triggers the system, by definition, stops you from going into your relaxed state. And sex, pleasure, and orgasms, they happen when we relax the muscles. Very often people come to climax and they start holding their breath and then they start squeezing and then they have this orgasm, right? Well, if they could just take a couple of deep breaths and push their pelvic floor down, which is the muscle that you use like to pee, like you push that down while you are going to that state, you are going to start shifting your nervous system dominance, and you can go into full body orgasmic state when you start relaxing. Because your orgasms, you know, your pelvic floor muscle, which is this set of muscle that sits between your hip bones, which is like a hammock. And when you are doing a lot of exercise, yoga, Pilates, you're pushing it up, right? So it goes into this flex position and is no longer able to do this. Your orgasms are basically related to how flexible is your pelvic floor. So if you're stuck here, this is your orgasms. If you have good flexibility and dexterity, this is your orgasms, right? They're going to bounce and it's going to create effects that are reaching further away, decentralized, you know, just move away from the genital themselves and actually able to start having higher states of pleasure, of release. And that comes with relaxation. So we were talking about earlier, you know, the blocks. We talked about shame. One of the biggest blocks, of course, is stress and tension. You know, so me, sometimes it takes me 2 hours of body work. You know, I'm lucky I get a lot of body work, but 2 hours of getting someone to relax me, and then I can go into an orgasmic state without having to have to do lots of breathing or, you know, anything to kind of help me out. And the other thing that I think I wanted to mention, what you're saying about also the dynamic with your girlfriend and people in relationship, is that we believe that arousal is something that we feel either in the body or in the head. We are either turned on by a thought and we want to have sex, or we feel the heat coming in the lower belly and we're like, oh, I want sex. When women dissociate a bit from sex and find sex boring, you know, usually it's because they no longer have the fire. And they're relying purely on being turned on mentally. But if their partner isn't seducing them, creating the sexual tension and helping them getting attracted, then they're not going to feel the also mental arousal. And some of the things that I've discovered that have completely changed me is that you can get yourself aroused through physical practice. So what I intend to do is make sure I have a pelvic breath practice that I do every day so that my energy is always active there. It never really goes down. So in ancient wisdom, they call it like simmering. So when you want to go into a sexual space, you're already in this bubbly state. You know, you're not letting yourself shut down completely and then expecting to then become aroused and turned on because your partner wonders, because, you know. So I think that's the other thing in the app that I think is helpful, is realizing there's so many practices you can do that can make you more sexual or have more sexual energy as a starting point to re-engaging with, you know, sensuality, sexuality, etc. That is something we have. It's available, but it's just never talked about.
Wow. I was not expecting such a complete answer and taking us through all the incredible things that you can do beyond the little that I've done as far as experimentation with nutrition. I just want to quickly add in that for me is more like, you know, the steroids of that's, you know, nothing is better than being completely relaxed, being completely present, connected, synchronized, and having these intense orgasms. But there's times where it's like just having fun. You know, we'll have some chocolate, we'll have some beetroot powder. It's not often, but it happens. And I'll put it this way. It can sometimes be a shortcut, but it's not for the sake of taking shortcuts. It's just like a little element of fun. Okay, I have some questions now. I mean, I know that we're running short on time. I have some questions for you regarding the sex itself. What most people tuning in now, beyond everything that we've discussed now, like during sex, what are some things that anyone can do to have better sex?
Okay, first, bringing awareness to the pelvic floor. Start believing that this set of muscle is really, really important for you, for your health, for your longevity, for your mobility when you get older, for your sex life as a whole. It's so important. We don't train it. Some men I meet don't know they have a pelvic floor, right? Zero awareness for this incredibly valuable set of muscle. And then start training it every day. You know, start little squeezes, little pushing, just start, you know, and this is like this, clenches your anus, right? That's the pelvic
floor. Oh, that's the pelvic floor.
That's the pelvic floor. Clenching your, trying to stop peeing.
I've heard about that.
That's the same. So it's like a hammock which has holes, you know, for the anus, for the vagina, for the penis. So it's perforated with the, you know, organs, the sexual organs, but that's why when you squeeze in around the anus, it feels like that, but it's actually all connected. So the important thing is just to bring awareness and try to squeeze in there. Just try and see what happens when you try and squeeze around your penis, squeeze more towards the perineum underneath, the space between your balls and the anus is a really important muscle. It's actually the base of your cock. It's a third of the penis is inside the body. And that area there is really important for like healthy erection, lasting longer, also good control so that you can have more options when you have sex, that you don't go, it's happened to me, shit. You can actually feel more what's happening before it happens. So training the pelvic floor is number one. Everyone, women, men, all gender, all sexuality, every day, the same way you brush your teeth. Well, you brush your teeth. Squeeze, push. Me, I do it all the time. Sometimes when I do my yoga or my Pilates, I add all the internal work. So if I'm lifting, I'm pushing my pelvic floor, I'm always trying to find a way to activate that muscle as part of my body.
Like you said, I don't mean to interrupt so much, but it's like you said, it's like we are constantly sitting. And so that muscle is constantly weakened. So it's literally something that we should build into our training.
Absolutely. You need to do that. And you as a coach, you know, I would say, absolutely build that in for all of your clients, add all the pelvic training. It's such a small piece, you know, but it has so much impact if you do it every day. And then there's different techniques that we have that can be useful for bringing more engorgement, bringing more like arousal, lasting longer, having internal orgasms, having G-spot, or like different breath pattern and pelvic work can help you with activating. It's the same than any other place of the body. We use breath and muscle in order to create the work that we want there. So the first thing is this, breathing deeply, relaxing, working the pelvic floor. That's one piece. The second thing is to reconnect with embodiment, like spend time with your partner, just give them 10, 20 minutes of touch just for them with no expectation for sex. Not even in the back of your head, not even if they're getting all excited and now you want to go there. No, you just give them 20 minutes of completely dedicated touch that they can guide you towards what they like. There's no embarrassment to tell you you're doing anything wrong because you're there to serve them. So you say to them, I want to give you the things that feel the best and tell me how. So educate yourself around there and then do the same the other way. Give your partner, and it could go all the way to sensual massage and touch, to genital massage that can turn into an erection and excitement and maybe even have an orgasm, but it's only for them. You know, it's very important. And actually, I would take the sexual part out initially because that's what creates, and that is going to give you intimacy, trust. The person's going to be able to more surrender. That presence you're talking about is going to become more easy to access because you get to know each other better. You already know what she likes. You're not in your head saying, is she liking this? She's not moving. Should I change? Or what am I doing? You know, all these little things that happen. So the second thing is get to know your body and their body by doing this one directional touch. Also, I would recommend mutual self-masturbation. It's a really great way to open deeper intimacy in a relationship.
masturbating with your partner, like you're doing something on yourself while they're doing.
And you're looking at each other and you're turning yourself on by looking at them. And initially you can do it under the duvet and you're focusing on the feeling. And, you know, it depends how comfortable you feel with your partner.
Because the aim it's one of the best things I've ever done. It's one of the best things I've ever done. Again, everyone that knows me is going to hate that I'm saying this, or either hate it or love it. But I'll just go ahead and say that it's one of the best things ever.
Ah, okay. I love you for that. So that would be the second thing. And then the third thing about great sex is to shift from friction sex, which is this idea, like we do everything in our life. You know, if you look at the world, everything is round and cyclic, right? I mean, it's pretty much everything, the planets, you know, we have season, we have cycles, and yet we think of everything in this linear way. We can't help ourselves. It's harder, stronger, faster. It's always that way. It kills us mentally. It also kills us physically because every machine in the gym is linear movement, right? We are supposed to rotate and move and flow. Our body, we say the motion is the lotion. You know, you have to move and rotate. So sex is the same. Our genitals are definitely not square. They're round. They're three-dimensional. And so this idea to do this as a way to have sex is almost like the best way we can desensitize ourselves. It's like wearing a shoe that's a bit too small. Then your skin is going to develop a barrier.
And it creates numbness.
Exactly. Now, so we talk about suction sex, which is the way that we can kind of, you know, give a term, because as you know, with sex, the vocabulary has disappeared because we don't talk about it. So there's very few words to talk about sex in a really articulated way. We kind of have to create also some terminology. But suction sex is this idea that, you know, and this is a little bit heteronormative, but it can work very well also for, let's say, a gay couple having sex. It's the same with the anus, but it's this idea that the person who you're entering, let's say you're entering here, like that's you, and you're entering here, in order for them to enjoy and appreciate and be receiving you properly, they actually have to bring you in. They actually have to bring you in. So we have this practice on the app that basically helps the vagina open through breathing and pushing the pelvic floor. And then it grabs onto the head of the penis, and then there is this suction that happens, and slowly you get taken in. I'm going to send you this. You're going to do it. So you're going to love it. You are going to love it. And then you're in a suction seal. And when you're in a suction seal, you have so much like wrapping around your cock that it feels great. And that's nothing to do with how tight the vagina is. It all has to do with how engorged the erectile tissues inside the vagina are, because you're aroused and turned on, because you took your time, because now she's taking you in. It's her choice. So it's sucking. And the other advantage of sucking for both you and her, if you think of sucking, you're sucking the energy up. So when you're having sex, instead of thinking you're pushing in and releasing energy into the person, actually practice pulling with your pelvic floor and moving the energy up. And that also is going to help you have more full body experiences, experiences where your body is tingling, where you start feeling the energy, not just from the genitals and out, but from the genitals and up, where you can go through all these different opportunities in your body as well to have that, which is what it's for. Like sexual energy is there to clean up what's blocked. It's the freeing, surrendering energy that flows for us to also release our stress and trauma. So it's a very important part of even our mental well-being, because if we have that release, we all know it, we've been there, when you have that release that feels really good and deep, you're distressed. You're just distressed. It's just how it is.
So reflecting back on everything that we've discussed on this podcast, let's say you've been desensitized both mentally and physically, right? Now, adding all these things back in, everything that we've just discussed, right? How do we last longer? Because it seems to me like with everything that you've just taught me and taught the listeners, now sex is going to be such a, oh my God, rich experience. How do you last longer with that kind of experience, with that kind of sensation?
So as someone with a penis, you last longer because you feel more. The reason you don't last long enough is because you don't see the signs that happen in your body before they happen. So when you master your own energy and you start feeling way before it gets to the point where you can't control it, you're going to feel things happening in your lower belly. You're going to start reading the signs. So we use edging, which is the idea of delaying ejaculation, by feeling more, not by feeling less. Most people edge by stopping and thinking about something that totally turns them off. So that's how they stop coming too early. We actually teach, you know, lasting longer by getting more in tune with your sensations. So that's the first thing. The second thing is semen retention. And the third thing is masturbation. Your masturbation is your training ground for the sex you want to have. So if you masturbate in 5 minutes in front of porn, this is likely to be very much the kind of experience you're going to recreate when you have sex. So use your masturbation to train yourself to last longer. Don't come. Just see, stretch the time, try new things, you know, get yourself to those high states of arousal and maintain that. You know, it's something that needs to be mastered, because it's mastery. The sexual practices in ancient wisdom were the ones that were delivered at the end of the training. That was 7-14 years, you know, only then, you know, those practices, you know, were able to be seen and learned, because they are so powerful. And the reason that sexuality has been so repressed, and especially, you know, when it comes to female pleasure, it's because it liberates us. It connects us to our true self. It gives us a reason to know what we know, not to be distracted and influenced. It gives us a chance to, as you say, really meet ourselves. And from that place, we become less manipulated. You know, we become a little bit more assertive with what we want, and we get driven by desires and not fears. And when that happens, you know, this is true freedom that's available to us. So we can, as you say, leave society the way it is. We can't change everything, but do the work on yourself. You have access to this body. No one is taking it away, hopefully. And if it is, then that's, you know, something that should be condemned. But in most cases, you know, the people we're talking to, they have access to that body. And they don't have an excuse not to go explore now.
Wow. So it really is about having the ability to recognize the signs as far as the edging goes and lasting longer, because I know that but it's about being able to recognize the signs early on enough to the point where you can prevent them. I think a lot of folks maybe are under the impression that you need to start holding back by the point, at that point it's already too late. So if you can actually learn enough about your body and about these sensations, you can take a preventative approach early on enough that actually helps you last longer. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, and that, as I say, and again, use your masturbation and try not to come every time, because it's like
really?
A muscle. Yeah, absolutely. When you come, you release your energy, right? So the less you come, the bigger your orgasm is going to be. When you have those bigger orgasms, if you start doing the right type of breathing, you're going to have a very different experience.
I know that we're like super short on time, and I do have to get going. I know you have to get going as well. But in these last, let's say, couple minutes, what are some practical tips for masturbation itself? You know, what should we watch porn? Is it better to envision a scenario or something happening with our partners? You know, what should the approach be with ourselves?
Yeah, so I can't prescribe, you know, but I think what has worked for myself is that don't just go to the genitals. You know, just remember that your genitals are part of your whole body, that you have places that are erogenous everywhere on your body. Get familiar with pleasure coming from more places, because now you're opening the possibility, the map, there's more space, and it tells, there's more information going back to your brain saying, we're in a place of sexual pleasure, and there's all these places are activated. So I would say warm up, relax, warm up, take 10, 15 minutes before you even touch your genitals to just be with yourself. And either do a short meditation, do a short breath work. Breath work is brilliant because it's quick, it's effective, it completely resets you. I think it's a very reliable science. So I also use breath work a lot. Then change things up. Don't do the same routine every time just because you know it and you can get there, or that's the sex you're going to have. It's going to be uneventful. and very repetitive, right? So change things up, look on the app. We have lots of like masturbation techniques that you can kind of try. And then use porn if it helps you think of something else than work, if you stress, use it. Be mindful of the content you watch. If you wouldn't want to be participating to this in real life, maybe you shouldn't be watching it. Just be careful because it does feed you with a lot of, you know, information. And the last thing I would say is maybe have a thing you want to work on. Like, it's the same as your fitness. Oh, I want to have sharper abs. Everyone seems to have a clear goal when it comes to what comes on the outside. So same thing with sex, what you want. Do you want to last longer? What do you have a particular thing in mind? You know, people work well when they have goals. As a coach, you know that, right? So it's the same thing. It can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to... It's very hard for people to change their habits without goals. So it's like something maybe you can agree with your partner, say, okay, well, this she's frustrated because she can't have a G-spot orgasm. Okay, why don't we work on this together? I'll look it up. I'll stimulate you that way. She can do it on her own. So it's also like using it as a discovery project. Have that attitude around masturbation. It's quite important, even though it's hard to sustain because we get distracted and it gets deprioritized. But be curious and try new things is what I would recommend.
Thank you, Chloe. I have 500 more questions for you, but I know that we're out of time at this point. But I would love to have you back on the podcast in the very near future if you'd be up for it.
Of course, of course. And I have so many questions for you, and I would love to maybe do some content. I think a lot of people would learn a lot and get it. I think the best way to tell people what to do is to tell them what to do, to actually make it like, you know, a series of little lessons of, you know, what can we learn? And that's usually what we find people respond to the most anyway.
I would love to. Yeah, I would please. Yeah, let's do it. It'd be an honor and a pleasure. And hey, where can people find you?
So we are on Instagram at KamaLab, Kama.lab, and otherwise on the App Store and Google Play. You can download the Kama app, which is a wellness, sexual wellness application. And you can reach me at chloe.mcintosh@kama.co for anything, honestly.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Andres. So nice to talk to you.
So that's all for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For all of the show notes, including clickable links to anything and everything that we discussed today, everything from discount codes to videos to research articles, books, tips, tricks, techniques, and of course, to learn more about the guest on today's episode, all you have to do is head to my website, andrespreschel.com. That's AndresPreschel.com, and go to podcasts. You can also leave your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future episodes, future guests, so on and so forth. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Have a lovely rest of your day.